We are back. Welcome to Marshall Time, episode 45. We've been gone for a little bit, little summer break, but now things are about to ramp back up. The NFL season starts Thursday. We got the NBA training camp starting back up. The WNBA, definitely a lot of hot talking points. How's it going, bro?
It's good, bro. You know, summer was good. Got to go out Cali for, you know, you and Breeze.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Big you know big wedding out there in Cali.
So, you know, everything's been good.
So let's, you know, today's show is two topics. The NFL season starting up. So we're going to break down division by division, just giving quick, honest thoughts about the teams, the divisions, just an outlook for the season. And then we're going to talk about Caitlin Clark and this Andrew Reese conversation. A lot of thoughts, a lot of opinions. I feel like some people aren't being honest and genuine in their conversations. And so just want to give a different perspective and some thoughts, our thoughts on it. And then I know we started the summer doing our NBA summer outlook and recap, and we'll do that for the next show for sure. We're planning on it unless something else major breaks, because pretty soon we'll have training camp too for the NBA team. So it's about to get busy. No shortage of topics to discuss in the sports world. So let's start off with our NFL preview. NFC East. Disclaimer, we're Eagles fans. If you haven't known by now, now you know. Eagles, Giants, Cowboys, Commanders. Any strong thoughts about this division, these teams, like just how we feeling?
Well, we know NFC East notoriously is always competitive, you know, with each other. I believe it hasn't been a repeat of champions for what? It's been maybe more than 10 seasons now, mm-hmm. closer to 15. So it's hard to go back-to-back in this division. Last year, Dallas won the division. So this year, I do believe us, the Birds, the Eagles will win the division. Dallas should definitely be in second. The Washington should be third. It's going to be interesting for them. They have Jaden Daniels, you know, rookie quarterback. They've had decent weapons, you know, for a long time, but they just never found the quarterback piece. They never got that together. So now Jaden Daniels will come into a situation where, you know, he has some good weapons around him. Hopefully he can succeed. And then the Giants, I don't got to say much about them, man. I just hope Malik Nabers isn't affected too much by the poor management, poor quarterback play over there. Cause he's a real talent. Like, he can really ball. And but yeah, I just don't. Daniel Jones, I wasn't sold on him from the beginning. He hasn't done anything for me to be sold on him. Yeah, I'm not feeling it. But realistically, it's two teams to watch. Eagles, Cowboys. The Eagles, man, like we have everything right in front of us. We have arguably the best roster on paper in the NFL. We do have question marks. You know, we've lost some pieces. The linebacker position, we've made moves, but we don't know who's going to really be that guy for sure. I know we signed Devin White, but we just got word that he's not even going to play the first game because he has an ankle injury, I believe. N'Kobe Dean, he's shown to be a good tackler, but he's not that great in pass coverage. I know we got other guys that are coming in. So I'm interested to see what we do with Jeremiah Trotter Jr. I know he's going to get some reps. He's going to get some chances to make an impact. But, yeah, man, the offense should be good. The offense should be great. Got Saquon. Jahan Dotson was a great move. That was a great move in the slot. And I'm just excited to see what everybody does, man, especially how we started off strong last year and we just collapsed. It was such a bizarre collapse. Never seen nothing like that. So hopefully these guys are hungry and ready to come out for blood. We got some good games on the schedule, so it's not going to be a cakewalk. Just hope they come ready to play.
I'm excited about Philly. Getting Saquon Barkley, you take him away from the Giants, one of your big rivals, and it's a major upgrade at the running back position. We've had Miles Sanders, DeAndre Swift, solid running backs, right? But we can agree that Saquon Barkley, when he's healthy, when he's locked in, when he's ready to go, he brings a different explosive dimension that this offense hasn't had. And I'm excited to see it. Obviously, people are going to say, well, his body might break down, the injury questions. I understand that, but I'm willing to see and take that risk, right? Like, we know what you have when you have a Miles Sanders and a DeAndre Swift. But with Saquon Barkley, there's a presence there that this offense hasn't had at that position. It's been a while, you know what I mean? And so I'm excited to see. Obviously, the big question mark is the defense. What good is the offense putting up points if you can't stop anybody, especially come playoff time when you got to make big stops when it matters most? And so that'll be the question mark. But I think the Eagles are the team to beat. Everything you said is on point. Two of these teams need to figure out the quarterback position, because the future of the quarterback for me, it's not on the roster. The Giants with Daniel Jones, they played themselves, giving him that big contract. When he signed that contract, if you actually watched and knew what was going on with that situation, you knew he didn't deserve it. Based off of his play and his talent and forecasting what he can be, he is not an elite quarterback, right? And, you know, I think a lot of teams fall into, and I'll talk about the next team as well, a lot of teams fall into this, well, we got to get somebody. We got to, like, who? There's nobody else out there. We got to sign the guy that we have. You don't really have to, because there are certain quarterbacks that if you decide to place your faith in them, you're telling me you're okay and you've accepted being average or below average, right? And so when the Giants gave Daniel Jones that contract, to me, they're telling me we're not a serious franchise. We're not trying to win. We're trying to stick with the status quo. And what has it given you? They made the playoffs, right? What was it, a couple years ago they made the playoffs? And
They made it 2 years. The year we went to the bowl, they beat the Vikings, then we beat them. So 2 years ago.
They beat the Vikings, right? who had another quarterback who I feel the same way about. When you have a quarterback like Kirk Cousins, you have a ceiling. The Giants to me they're not serious because your quarterback's not serious. If you give me a team with an unserious quarterback, I can't take you serious. And then we have the Cowboys. How many times, how many years do we have to go through the same conversation? The O-line can be set up. The running game can be there. The receiving weapons can be there. The defense can be there, right? And when it matters most, Dak Prescott fails in the big moments. What happened last year in the playoffs with the Packers? It's Jordan Love, quarterback, outplayed him. But here's the thing. You could actually predict what is going to happen. It's not my money, Jerry Jones, but you go ahead and pay Dak Prescott if you want to. Because if you do that, it means to me is you're scared. You don't think you can do better, which is ridiculous. But for the Cowboys, honestly, rock out and see what happens this year. But look, Shedeur Sanders should be on your radar. We'll see what Cam Ward does at Miami. But look, there's better out there, a quarterback. Like, Dak Prescott is who he is at this point. Like, it's not changing. Like, he's going to get you good enough. If that's what you want, Dallas, by all means, have at it. I love it. As an Eagles fan, please give Dak the money. Please. I want another 5 years of facing Dak Prescott. Please. And so, yeah, the Commanders, Jayden Daniels, I think he'll be good, but we'll see. You never know what young quarterbacks, but I think, yeah, he's promising. And so the Commanders, okay, they have something to build upon. But Dallas, New York, I just can't take it serious. And I just can't. So those are my thoughts about that division. NFC North, the Bears, Vikings, Packers, Lions. Thoughts?
So this is probably the most exciting division in the NFC for sure. We saw how good they were last year. Same with the Packers. And now we have an exciting Bears team now. Getting Caleb Williams, bringing in Keenan Allen, drafting Roma Duzier, having a talent like DJ Moore, getting DeAndre Swift, right? They have a defense that has potential. Caleb Williams, he showed that he's talented, right? I've had questions about his personality off the field and stuff like that. And is he really going to be a leader? That's to be determined. Just from judging on from what I've seen so far and on paper, this could potentially be a playoff team. They could be, right? It's going to be exciting, though, because, like I said, they have – it's tough, right? Usually only two teams from your division is going to make the playoffs, but ever since the NFL added seven teams, some divisions get lucky and get three teams in there. This could be that division for the NFC if the Bears can win games, right? I do think the Lions still finish first. I think they're still, like, the best team. But actually, Now that I think about it, the Packers might finish first because the Packers aren't going to play the first place schedule this year. The Lions have to face that. So the Lions will have tougher games this year, which means they might lose a couple games that's going to put them down to second. So I'm going to go with Packers. I think Packers will finish first. Lions will finish second. Bears will finish third. But they all potentially can make the playoffs. And it's going to be exciting to watch, especially when they go against head-to-head against each other. It's going to be real exciting. The Vikings.
Who's that quarterback? Sam Darnold now, right?
I know they had JJ McCarthy and plans where they try to get him implemented in at some point in the season, but he got injured. And I don't know what the progress is with that. They signed Aaron Jones, who was a good running back, but when you have a quarterback that's not good, it's going to be kind of hard for him to get off how he did with the Packers, right? But at the same time, they do have Justin Jefferson. They do have a Jordan Addison, right? They have talent on the outside. They may be a team that could shock teams for certain games, but they're not making the playoffs. They should be a top 10 pick for sure. But, yeah, that's going to be an exciting division to watch. Like, that's a real exciting division.
I look at the North. I'm excited about what Jordan Love and the Packers can do. They have a deep wide receiver room, Romeo Dobbs, Christian Watson. Like, they got some guys, right? But, man, I've been a fan of Caleb Williams since he was at USC. Just there's a certain energy in a certain way of which a player goes about playing their sport. You can just tell it's special, right? Like, I'm not into the Mahomes comparisons, but the way that Caleb Williams creates plays and makes just he just makes it happen. And he's a young quarterback. He has things to learn. He has to grow into being a leader. But the conversation and the question mark surrounding Caleb Williams to me is like, look, these are the same teams that drafted Mitch Trubisky high. These are the same teams that are giving Daniel Jones $100 million. So I don't want to hear what anything y'all got to say because you repeatedly make stupid mistakes when it comes to quarterback position. Lamar Jackson slid all the way down, right? Like Blaine Gabbert. Like I can go down the list of Jake Locker. I can go down the list of quarterbacks that y'all thought were the one, right? And so I think a lot of teams overthink it sometimes when it comes to the quarterback position. Like, Caleb Williams is special. We can figure out the rest later, but he has a special and unique skill set. And for me with the NFC North, I'm dialed into Chicago. Like, I'm all in. He's a rookie, so I know it's not popular to say a rookie quarterback can come in and lead a team to the playoffs, but I love the energy from this team. They made some additions. You got DJ Moore, Keenan Allen. They got the rookie Rome. They got DeAndre Swift, a solid running back. I think the defense is going to be good. I mean, it's not that the North isn't full of juggernauts, right? Like, the Packers are young, the promising team. The Vikings, we know what their situation is with the quarterback spot now with Sam Darnold. And the Lions, yes, they were a popular story and a team that really played well, right? But they got to prove it again. And Jared Goff, solid, solid quarterback. He isn't Aaron Rodgers, right? Like, let's relax a little bit here. And so for me, when it comes to which team can have the best quarterback talent, I think Caleb Williams is the best quarterback talent in that division, right? Like, just natural, pure quarterback talent. He has to prove it, obviously, but that's what we call forecasting and predicting. And what I've seen from Caleb Williams from USC into the preseason and everything that we've known of him, I have no problem saying Chicago can make an impact in this division. And so I'm rolling with Chicago. I think, it's going to be exciting to watch. NFC South, you got the Bucks, Saints, Panthers, and Falcons.
Other end of the spectrum.
It's been nasty. It's been a nasty work in that division. End of
the spectrum.
It's been nasty work.
I will say this. The Falcons, they got a new coordinator. They got, a new whole staff. You know, Arthur Smith's coming in. Kirk Cousins, everybody knows. If you know me, you know how I feel about Kirk Cousins, right? He's a stats guy. He'll give you good regular season games, but when the lights are bright, even on primetime football, regular season Monday night, he's not going to come through for you most of the time. But he'll get his stats. He's going to get his receiver stats, right? So
that's cool. That's cool for fantasy, for sure.
Cool for fantasy is cool for your bets. Yeah. It's cool for Drake London to get his numbers.
Yeah, Kyle Pitts.
Hopefully he can finally
I got Pitts on a couple of fantasy teams. So I'm actually went to work to go to work.
I actually had to give up on Kyle Pitts because he hurt me bad in fantasy last year. I'm done.
This is it. This is the year. This is the year for Kyle. If it's not it, then it's a wrap.
Yeah, he's too talented not to get right. You know what I mean? But
he has to get right.
The Falcons, man. I was watching the meltdown from when they played the Patriots in the Super Bowl maybe like a week ago, and I'm just like, yo, they really never recovered. They never recovered from that. And now they're at a point where my problem with them getting Kirk was it's like they're just doing it just to do it. It's like if I'm a GM, I'm not giving him money because I don't have faith that he can take my team anywhere. Like, we can go to the playoffs and probably lose round one or two at best, right? But we're not going to a conference chip. We're not going to a Super Bowl. I'd rather just give Michael Penix the chance. Just hope you know what I mean? Like, but hey, that's what they did. They gave him the money. Cool. In that division, they should finish second. I still think the Buccaneers will finish first. We saw what Baker was able to do with the Buccaneers last season. They played very well. They took us out of the playoffs, right? Give them credit for that. And they still have Mike Evans, right? I think the Bucs should be first, Falcons second, Saints, Derek Carr, that whole situation, they need to get rid of it. That's another team. They're holding on to dead weight. Derek Carr is not it. The Panthers, I'm not going to write Bryce Young off yet, just because their O-line was terrible last year and their best receiver was a 30-something-year-old Adam Thielen, right? I know they drafted Xavier Leggett out of South Carolina. He might be good. So we'll see. We'll see what the Panthers can do. I still don't expect them to go far, but hopefully they can shock me because I think Bryce Young has talent, but this is one of the worst situations a quarterback has gone into in a minute from being a number one pick. Like, Caleb Williams is walking into like a perfect situation offensively. Bryce Young came into a terrible situation. But that's my outlook on that division.
Yeah, I think with Atlanta – you got to think, this is a team that hasn't been to the playoffs since 2017. So this is where business comes into the equation, right? It's a business. It's a business at the end of the day. You got to keep butts in the seats. So you got to give your fans a reason to come to the games, buy these tickets, buy these jerseys, draw up excitement, and get a playoff game or two maybe. And so by getting a Kirk Cousins, you're pretty much saying, okay, look, we know Kirk Cousins isn't, first of all, he's coming off of an injury, right? Was it an Achilles injury?
I want to say it might have been. I forgot what year. I'd be so over it with him. I just.
What was it? He ruptured his Achilles last year.
Right.
So you're already taking a chance. He's 30, you know, he's in his 30s now, right? And so my quarterback conversation, if you follow what we've been talking about over the last year or so, when you're talking about the quarterback position, there are just certain guys where you just know there's a limit to your team when he's your quarterback, right? And Kirk Cousins is one of those guys. And so he'll get you to a certain ceiling, but there's no – when you need him to be Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, just elevating those around him, he's never been that guy. And so by getting a Kirk Cousins, you're in the NFC South, you're in the NFC, you have a great chance with those weapons, with the Bijan Robinson, you have a good chance of snapping that playoff drop. And for the Falcons, for that franchise, business-wise, that's a win, right? Like, if we make the playoffs, we're selling out this stadium. There's a lot of excitement and conversation about the Falcons right now, right? And I think they should win that division. For me, if they don't, it's a flop. Like, you should, with Bijan Robinson, with Kyle Pitts, a Drake London, with a new proven quarterback who has proven that he can get the job done in the regular season. Yeah, and I have a hard time trusting Baker Mayfield to lead a team to the playoffs again. I have a hard time believing that. Now, are they the second best team in this division? Yes, they should be. Because New Orleans, Derek Carr, who's their wide receiver, right? Like, who do they have at wideout?
Who, in the New Orleans?
Yeah,
Chris Olave. He's nice. Chris Olave is nice, but
he's nice.
That quarterback situation,
exactly. Yeah. Outside of Chris Olave, though, on that offense, Alvin Kamara, does he still have it? Is he that still explosive weapon on offense?
He's solid, but he's not what he was.
You know what I mean? And so, yeah, it's probably a two-team race. I hope Bryce Young and Carolina, I hope they get things together, but we'll see. NFC West, you got the Rams, Seahawks, 49ers, and Cardinals.
This is another interesting division, but it's not as interesting as the North because I think it's pretty set in stone who's going to win. It's the Niners.
Yeah,
the Rams, they're a good team, and they'll be in the playoffs, I believe, if they stay healthy. But I just don't think all around they're not as good as the Niners, but they do have a lot of talent on the roster. Seahawks, another team that could potentially make the playoffs, but like I said, it's going to be tricky trying to get three teams from your division getting in there. But I feel like the Seahawks are just stagnant at this point. Like, we know what they are. Like, Geno had a nice comeback story. But is he really the guy? Probably not. Cardinals, that's another interesting story because Kyler came back. And people forget, when Kyler came back at the end of the year, they were looking like a completely different team. He was good. They started winning a couple more games. Now with a full offseason of him being healthy, and they got who I think is going to be a great player, Marvin Harrison Jr., it's going to be a beast. I don't know, man. They might turn some heads. I mean, it's still the Cardinals. Like, they still got some things to work out. But when you got a quarterback that has shown he can play in this league and you got a receiver who's going to come in, he's ready. He has all the talent in the world. It's going to be interesting. They still got James Conner. He's still a solid running back, right? Their defense, I believe they still got Buda Baker. He's solid. Well, he's actually a beast. I wish we had him, but
– yeah.
But it's just the competition this year, they're not going to be able to get past the Niners. I don't think they'll be able to pass the Rams either. The Seahawks, possibly. I still think the Seahawks might have too much talent for them, but you never know. You guys still got to play the game on the field. But, yeah, that's my outlook on that division.
Yes, San Francisco should be the favorite. No need to discuss why and what they bring to the table. I think this might be an interesting, a really competitive division. I think the Rams shocked some people last year, and I think they'll be good again. Seattle's always going to be tough, but the question mark is the quarterback position. You know, Geno Smith, you know, it's been a great story with his career and how he's came back from, you know, being on the bench to being a starter again, but that can only take you so far with him at quarterback. And then the Cardinals, I'm excited about Marvin Harrison Jr. I'm excited to see what he can do in Arizona. And so I think the West will probably be – the West and the North will probably be the most interesting competitive divisions, I think. Just on paper. But this is all 49ers for them to win. Switching over to the AFC, we have the East, the Jets, Dolphins, Pats, and Bills.
I have my thoughts on this division.
Take the Pats.
I'm not going to. We don't have to speak on the Pats.
X them out. Because
it's going to be a minute. Yeah. It's going to be a rush. It's going to be a little ride for them. Yeah. I think the Jets, if healthy, should win this division. If healthy, right? Mm-hmm. They improved the O-line. Then we know Garrett Wilson is nice. Breece Hall is nice. And now A-Rod is back, right? Their defense for the past few years, under Robert Saleh, has been good. They went and got Mike Williams from the Chargers, who was a stud. But as we know, injuries has hurt him in his career too. But hopefully he can stay healthy. So they're really just banking on staying healthy, which is most teams. But them especially because they have an older quarterback. But A-Rod is still a top elite quarterback to me when healthy. Like, I don't want people to forget that, right? A lot of people have certain quarterbacks over him. Josh Allen, I'm not going, right? And that's what I'll get to next. The Bills, third place. Putting you third place, right? A lot of people – Josh Allen's my thing with him. He's a good quarterback. I don't think he's elite because he turns the ball over too much. Like, he's elite in terms of – there's not that many elite quarterbacks. So if you're looking at today's quarterbacks, right, you could put him in elite of today's quarterbacks.
But oh, for sure.
The grand scheme of things, like if I look at – like I go back years ago, right, what's the difference between him and like a Matt Ryan? Like we was never – like Matt Ryan had one season where people were undoubtedly putting him at top three, right? But for his career, he was not considered a top three quarterback. But we're doing that for Josh Allen. Well, they're doing it. I don't even think he's top three because, like I said, I don't even think he's over A-Rod. He turns the ball over too much. Now, granted, I cut him some grace because the Bills, they never run the ball, which is terrible on their part. But I don't know, man. I don't know how it's going to work out now. I know they went and got Keon Coleman. They lost Diggs. They're number one. They also lost Gabe Davis, right? They got James Cook, who is talented, but they have to use him. They have to use James Cook. Like, That's the only way this is going to work out. So I'm going Jets, Dolphins. Dolphins, we know they're what they are, but they're a good team. They have names on the roster, right? But I don't know. Tua, I don't know. Like, he's shown flashes, but I feel like their offense is too gimmicky. It's too much short passing. Of course, you're going to have the deep ball with Tariq and Jalen Waddle from time to time, but the majority of their offense is like, it's real gimmicky. Like, I feel like it kind of related to the 49ers with less talent. As soon as you get in their face and guys are pressing and, you know, we double team, we take you, we stop you from going over top, put some double teams out there, you start panicking, right? But they have a lot of talent. So it's going to be a toss up for that number one spot. But me personally, the way the Jets are built all around, I like the Jets winning if they're healthy. Yeah, but yeah.
I like the Jets. I do. Rodgers still has something to prove, though, coming back from an injury. But if he can come back and be fully ready to go and his body's right, yeah. I think I had Garrett Wilson on one of my fantasy teams, and it was cooked the rest of the year. Like, it was a joke. Like, you knew one Zach Wilson, whoever else they had out there at quarterback, it was a wrap. And so to see him get better just on the strength of having a actual competent quarterback is going to be exciting to see. And then for the second place, toss up between Miami and Buffalo. I trust Buffalo because Miami's problem is the NFL season doesn't end in October. So when it gets cold and physical, we can just count Miami out because it's cute and stuff when the sun is shining and the weather is perfect and Tyreek and Waddle and their 3-4 running backs, are everything's good, right? When it gets physical, when we get into Tua, like, he's a small quarterback. Tyreek, you know, he's fast, but we can get physical. Like, what happens to that offense then, right? And so Buffalo, I think they're more built to last when it comes to when it gets cold outside, when things get really physical late in the season. I think Buffalo is built to last better. And so I would give Buffalo the edge, and I think I would take Josh Allen over Tua, to be honest with you, as a quarterback, just off the strength of his physical talents and capabilities. Now we go to the north. We got the Ravens, Bengals, Browns, and the Steelers.
This is another interesting division. Ever since the Browns got better, this division has always been interesting because they play each other so tough. You saw the Bengals had their run. You know, they made the Super Bowl. Then they've been dealing with injuries and inconsistencies. The Ravens, you know, they've been contenders, but they haven't gotten over the hump. The Steelers, their quarterback situation has been terrible, but they always finish 500 because Tomlin, that's what he does, and they have a good defense to kind of, you know, make up for some of that. And like I said, the Browns, they have improved. Every team has a question mark in this division. That's the funny part, right? The Ravens, we know what they are in the regular season. Can Lamar and the rest of the team, for that matter, get to that Super Bowl? Can they get to that's the only thing they need to do. Lamar has won the MVPs. Right, their defense has been good. They've improved their receiver. Now they got Derrick Henry, who is a monster. He's still going to kill with the Ravens, and that's deadly for any defense to go against. Everything's right in front of them. Can they get to the bowl? Right, it's no excuses. As long as they're healthy, it's no excuses. Can they get to the Super Bowl? Bengals, they got to protect Joe Burrow. It's been the story ever since he got there. They got to protect him. Ja'Marr Chase, I know he's having a problem with his contract. He's holding out. If you ask me, Both sides are being ridiculous because from this Ja'Marr's standpoint is, all right, bro, you're still under contract. You saw your man Justin Jefferson get paid. Now you wanna be a penny over him. That's just crazy to me. But at the same time, it's like the Bengals, you know y'all need him, and you know you're going to end up paying him anyway. You
might as well. They've always been cheap. The Bengals have always been a cheap franchise.
Right. So you might as well get out the way because you know you're going to need him. T. Higgins is a good receiver, but he's not Ja'Marr.
He's not number one.
He's not Ja'Marr. They're good together. Ja'Marr is him. Like, we know this. And we just got to see how they play. Like, I don't know. I feel like it's a big distraction for them, right? Luckily, they played the Patriots week one. So, if they can get through week one, they're going to be cool. The Browns, another team, talent. But D-Watt, I've always been a D-Watt fan, but he hasn't been looking the same ever since he got to Cleveland. He hasn't been looking the same. Can he bounce back? If he can bounce back, this team could very well finish number one. If it's a big if. if he could get back to what we know him to be on the Texans, because they have an elite defense, especially that secondary. They play defense that like the way I like defense to be played. They're physical. They get in your face. They don't give their corners too much help, right? They don't have to overcompensate because these guys can cover, and I love that. But on the other end, D-Watt has to produce. They have the weapons. I know Nick Chubb is going to be out for half the season probably, but Jerome Ford is a capable running back. Steelers. They have – and the crazy part about the Steelers is their defense is going to be legit, right? Getting Patrick Queen. You got T.J. Watt. They just re-signed Cam Hayward. They got Joey Porter Jr. on the outside. Minka in the safety, right? Solid pieces, good pieces. But Russell Wilson, I'm not sold on what he is now, right? We saw him on the Broncos. They gave him the house. He didn't perform. Last year, he had good numbers, but they weren't winning games. And I'm not going to put that all on him because the Broncos, they're the Broncos. But in this type of division, you got to be killing. Like, we just named the quarterbacks. You got Lamar and Joe Burrow. They're killing in the regular season. D-Watt, not so much. But like I said, we've seen him do it before, just like we've seen Russell Wilson do it before. But if I had to give an order how it's going to finish, I would go Ravens, Bengals. I don't know. This 3-4 spot, man.
I don't believe in Pittsburgh. I'm just going to go Browns.
I'm going to go Browns just because I think they're – I feel like I have more faith in D-Watt in that offense than I do Russell Wilson in that offense. I like George Pickens, but I don't know. I just – like even in the preseason, and I don't put too much stock in the preseason, but their offense looked terrible. Like I don't even know what they were running. Like it's like – it just looks too dry, man. And Najee Harris, nah. Mm-hmm. He's a carry merchant. You're a carry merchant, bro. It's not – you're not this bruiser running back we thought you were going to be. You're not that. Jaylen Warren might be better than you. Let's just be real.
Pittsburgh, offensively, it's been the same for some time now. You know, like, you know what you're going to get. And it's not going to be enough. In today's NFL game, it's just no. They have to adapt and adjust. This is another team that's sticking with the status quo. You got Russ, whose best days are behind him now, but you're not competing for a championship. So, in all honesty, you're wasting time. It's either Baltimore or Cincinnati, and I give the edge to Baltimore. Lamar, huge fan of his, my favorite quarterback in the league. Getting Derrick Henry, I think, is going to do wonders for both him and Lamar. Derrick Henry actually has a good an elite quarterback to play with after carrying Tannehill and the Titans for years. And Lamar has like a really legit running back. I'm excited to see how he impacts that offense. And so I think it's going to be fun. Cincinnati, it all depends on Burrow's health. And you got to get your, if without Jamar Chase, you're not the same team. You're just not. Like, you don't lose an elite offensive weapon like that and think that you're just going to carry on without any issues. So Cincinnati, they're going to have to pay him. Somebody's going to have to just swallow their pride and say, okay, let's just figure this out. And the Bengals should stop being cheap and pay that man his money, bottom line. Let's go to the South. We got the Jags, Titans, Texans, and Colts.
Texans.
One of these teams you can cross off the score.
Texans is like the team when I'm not watching the Eagles, that's going to be a team that I want to watch. Like, I want to see them perform, man. Like, getting Diggs with Nico Collins and Tank Dell with – they got Joe Mixon now. C.J. Stroud, he killed it. He's going to progress. I'm excited to watch them play, yo. Like, it's buzz in Houston. This is Buzz in Houston. Like, this is real.
This is their time.
The thing is, like, me growing up, Houston, they had good teams. But, you know, Matt Schwab was their quarterback. He was a good quarterback, but you knew he wasn't going to really get them over the hump. They had Andre Johnson was a beast, right? But this is probably the most, like, complete from quarterback to you know, the receivers. Even Dalton Schultz at tight end was a solid tight end. It's like everything is there for them, right? And we saw they had a good run. They had a good game in the playoffs, you know, dominating their Browns defense that I give a lot of praise to. I think they're going to be first. Second spot, but we know the Titans are done. So it's really coming down to the Jags. Jags or the Colts. I'm going to put Jags second. I don't – the Colts, my only thing is I don't trust Anthony Richardson's arm. I don't trust his accuracy. Like, he has arm power, but I don't trust his accuracy. He runs too much to me. I know a lot of people are going to put him in that Lamar combo because of, you know, play style, but he's not Lamar. Yeah. Lamar's more accurate than him, and Lamar's not even the most accurate. But, you know, it's enough. You know, but Anthony Richardson, he has to show me. That's all. And he's not even experienced as a quarterback. He started like 17 times as a quarterback. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is Houston's moment. This is a big one for Houston, right? It's the young team that shocked people, and they're ahead of schedule. But how do you follow this up now, right? Like, you gotta maintain this. C.J. Stroud, Nico Collins, Tank Dell. You got Stephon Diggs. You got Joe Mixon. Like, yeah, like, you're on our radar now. So how do you follow that up? And now this is where the pressure comes, right? There was no pressure last year. Now you're expected not just win the South, but you're actually expected to make the playoffs now. That's the expectation. So how do you respond under the weight of expectations? And that's the exciting thing about Houston. I think they're legit. They got a really, really rising good young coach in D'Amico Ryans. I'm excited about this franchise. I would give the Jags the second place edge. I think they're just more of a complete team for me. I'm excited about Anthony Richardson, though. I'm excited to see how he develops with a full, healthy year. And then the Titans, I don't have much to say about them. on to the next. Let's move on to the West. You got the Broncos, Chargers, Raiders, and Patrick Mahomes.
Well, we know the Chiefs are winning. These other teams, Chargers, they lost weapons. Herbert, he's a good quarterback, but they got to get receivers that can actually catch the ball. And the Chargers, they've been like cursed or something my whole life. Everybody's always hurt. Yeah. Even when they got rosters, they're hurt. Phillip Rivers, they was hurt.
They've now, been a trendy team every – they yeah, were always a trendy
People are always team. Their sleeper, dark horse. Man, listen. But watch this be the year where they have guys that come out of nowhere and ball. Here, you go
ahead. They got a good coach, though. They got Harbaugh. So, you know, that could be a difference for them.
Yeah, and then the Raiders, I don't even have nothing to say.
Gardner Minshew mania.
Nah, I'm not. And the Broncos, same thing.
You don't believe in Bo Nix?
I don't believe in nothing. Bo Nix, I'll give him a chance because I've never seen it. But everybody else, I'm cool.
My thing with the West and the entire AFC is that's Patty Mahomes over there. And so for me, until I see Patrick Mahomes fall off, the Chiefs are going to be my pick unless another team proves me wrong to win the AFC. Mahomes is special. Like, we've seen it. I don't think there's anything else you can say. He's like how Michael Jordan was in the 90s, where so many great players couldn't make the championship or couldn't win. He gave the league 2 years to get their act together, and Elijah Wan and them in Houston got it together and won two rings, right? To me, Mahomes is just going to be that quarterback, that player that gets in the way of a Lamar Jackson, a Josh Allen, like some great quarterbacks. I have a hard time betting against Mahomes and the Chiefs right now. I just do. And Tyreek Hill wasn't there. They said that would be a problem. No. Kadarius Toney, who, you know, did he get cut?
He did just get relief.
But, hey, they won a Super Bowl with him, right?
Yeah.
They got, you know, Xavier Worthy out of Texas. Who knows? And he could be an explosive weapon. Kelsey, he may not be as great as he once was. Maybe he's starting to slow down, but he's still a problem. He's still one of the top tight ends in the league. Mahomes still does things that your quarterback can't, your team's quarterback can't do, can't even think about doing. Andy Reid is still, pound for pound, the best coach in the league, arguably top three, top five all-time head coach when it comes to quarterbacks. We saw him in Philly win with Nick. We saw him win with A.J. Philly, like Coy Detmer. I've seen Andy Reid work miracles with quarterbacks in Philly. You give him Mahomes, and it's not fair. And so for me, yeah, like what are we talking about here? And so it's Patrick Mahomes. That's all I got to say. Like, yeah, Lamar's great. Josh Allen's great. Joe Burrow's great. They're, you know, C.J. Stroud's on the rise, but Patrick Mahomes is here. Like, give me one argument against Patrick Mahomes or the Chiefs right now to say they shouldn't be the favorites to win the AFC. Like, I don't have a valid argument because what I see, what I've seen, and Mahomes is just getting started. Like, that's the scary thing, right? Let me look up his age. Yeah, he's 28. What are we talking about here?
Yep.
In a day and age where quarterbacks are playing into their 40s. And so y'all talking about Kirk Cousins and Dak Prescott and Daniel Jones and Russell Wilson, Deshaun. Like, what are we talking about here? Like, it's just not making sense. So, yeah. You saw what Patrick Mahomes did last year in the Super Bowl. Like, what are we talking? Like, you knew on that drive, you knew what was happening. Like, what Brady was years ago, that's when Mahomes has the rock on the last drive. I don't care what the stakes are, Super Bowl, last second drive. What are we talking about? Like, you know what's going on. We saw it when he played us. Like, what are we talking about? So, yeah, it's Mahomes. It's the Chiefs. AFC, look, the AFC is tough, but it's Mahomes.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move to some hoops talk. We're going to talk about the ladies now. The WNBA has been seeing a rise in just attention, media coverage, ticket sales. It's amazing to see. As somebody who's watched the league grow up from the We Got Next campaign with the legends like Lisa Leslie, Rebecca Lobo, like some legends of the game, to see where it's at now, it's exciting to see the rebirth and sort of like a it really is a rebirth of women's basketball in the WNBA specifically. And the conversation recently has just been kind of – it's been funny. It's been disgusting. And it's just been it's been kind of whack lately. And it centers around the Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese conversation. Two rookies who are having great years in their own right. And the conversation has been – they should be co-rookie of the year. For starters, I don't agree. I don't agree with saying, well, they're both having good years. Why can't they just share the award? Let's be grown-ups and say one person is having a better year than another player. Let's just be grown up. It's like, I don't care about what your agendas are, which we'll get into. I don't care about what your biases are. The bottom line is one player is having a better year individually. And also, her team has clinched a playoff spot for the first time in 7 years, which ended the longest drought in league history, tied for the longest drought in league history. That's Caitlin Clark and the Fever. Made the playoffs for the first time since 2016. But yet, when I get on social media, you hear these conversations. Angel Reese somehow has a chance to win Rookie of the Year. No, don't get me wrong. Angel Reese, the double-double record, like, she's been amazing, right? But Caitlin Clark is Rookie of the Year. To me, it wasn't a debate when they tried to make it a debate. And that's where my issue is. And my issue is also with the gatekeeping, and that I'll talk about as well, but I just wanted to intro the conversation and just my feelings on it, because I have a lot to say. Before I go on my rant, I open up the floor to you, bro, and just your overall, just your initial thoughts on just the Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese conversation.
Well, for one, the agenda against Clark has been nasty since she was in college, because we saw her killing college for seasons, right? But we have people in the WNBA, former players, saying, oh, she's not going to be able to do this in the WNBA. It's a different level. It's a different beast. But I watch her do stuff that I didn't see any women do ever. Not in terms of accolades, in terms of how she played. Like, we're talking about shooting from Steph Curry range, right, consistently, and being a great playmaker. Saw Diana Taurasi say something like, she said something along the lines of, she think Paige Becker should win over her. And the reason it was you could tell she was being biased.
That's that UConn bias, though.
Yeah, and you could tell, like, there's some jealousy because she's getting Clayton Clark is getting a lot of attention. She's getting the most attention we ever seen a woman basketball player get. And she didn't even get to the league yet, right? Last time we seen that much hype was probably Brittany Griner. Uh-huh. But she's just different. And I also don't like the racial agenda people are trying to play.
Definitely a racial agenda at play.
The black versus white thing. No, it's not. One is shooting from Steph Curry range. The other one is a rebounder and a paint scorer. Of course, they're going to give more attention to the shooter who's also playing on a less talented team and carrying more of the load. We saw Angel Reese was playing with a better team at LSU. She had better teammates than Caitlin did, right? They're going to give. It's not because if the roles were switched, right? If Caitlin was black and Angel was white, they would still give Caitlin the props. It's basketball. Uh-huh. Like, this isn't politics. Nobody's free. Like, we're not running for president. Like, this is basketball. And it's nasty because the reality is both of them brought attention to the sport. Like, Angel Reese killed it in college, and she's doing her thing in the WNBA. And they're both bringing eyes to the league. So I don't understand why we can't just both give both of them their flowers without putting racial agendas in it, without being biased. Like, let's be real. Caitlin Clark, the Fever, before the beginning of the season, the Fever were, like, at the bottom of the conference. I look up now, they clinched a playoff spot. That's crazy. And it's
the reason for that.
And Caitlin Clark is the main reason for that, right? She's been hooping. Ever since they had that break, she's been on a tear. And if you just – I'm gonna be real. I don't watch every WNBA game, but I see the highlights and I see the stats, and you can see the direct result. It's right there. And if you know how she plays, it's right there. There's nothing why can't we just have honest conversations? Reality is, Caitlin Clark is in the MVP convo for the WNBA. Forget
her. Facts.
So if I'm a rookie and I'm in the MVP convo, why would I not win Rookie of the Year? That's just common sense in any sport. I don't get what the topic is. I'm not understanding.
Yeah, I have a few talking points. You touched on one of it. People got to be honest and real. And it's gotten to a point where – how do I say this? They've made it to where if you're for one player, you're against the other. So if I say Caitlin's the Rookie of the Year, oh, you don't like Angel Reese. Like, no. As a basketball fan, as a person who's watched the game for most of my life now, I see what an impact that Caitlin Clark has as a scorer, as a shooter, as a passer, and the impact that it has on her team winning. Common sense says, as a rookie, she's leading her team to the playoffs. She's the Rookie of the Year. And you know, they talk about wanting to bring more eyes to the WNBA, right? And these gatekeepers who are just nasty when it comes to people who are, quote unquote, new to the league and just watching. Well, that's how you grow the game, by getting new people and new eyes to watch your product. How do you expect the league and the game to grow if you're shunning people who are trying to learn and watch and learn more about the game? If Caitlin Clark is the reason why more people are watching the game, doesn't that pour more eyes on the other players like a Kelsey Mitchell?
Right.
Her teammate? What is the issue here? Right? So do you really care about the growth of the game, or are you really interested in your agendas and your bias? So that's what I have an issue with. Stop gatekeeping what I enjoy watching as a sports fan, as a casual sports fan, whoever you are. To be honest with you, I'm going to just keep it a buck. Caitlin Clark is more exciting to watch than Angel Reese. I said it.
Let's be real.
Does that mean Angel Reese isn't a good basketball player? No, but to me, Caitlin Clark is more exciting to watch. If that's the case, Tim Duncan will be a top five conversations every day. Everybody, what are we talking about?
Everybody's list.
So let's stop BSing and being disingenuous about this conversation, because the same people on this Angel Reese over Caitlin Clark crusade don't want to mention Tim Duncan in the top five conversation.
Because it's not basketball talk. It's
if we cared about rebounding and things like that,
we would respect Andre Drummond.
When do we care about
Andre Drummond? Like, what are we talking? Andre Drummond did the same thing.
What are we talking about here?
Andre Drummond did the same thing.
So you don't care about the growth of the game. Be careful what you wish for, because you just might get it. It might not be how you wanted to receive it. It's in the form of a white girl from Iowa cooking. So?
And they don't like the fact that she backs up her talk. She's on the
court. She's cooking.
But listen, y'all coming for me, and I'm cooking y'all. You know I'm going to talk. That's basketball. If you're a true competitor, you got it. I don't know how you can watch that and not respect it. I respect it.
Listen.
How can you not respect it?
Be careful what you wish for, WNBA gatekeepers, because NBA Twitter gets nasty.
Right.
And so now I think we're seeing the WNBA, the W gets certain conversations where it gets kind of combative, and that we're used to this when it comes to the NBA discourse. Like, it happens all the time. Are you truly ready for the media attention without getting personal and having these agendas and biases? Are you truly ready? The league isn't ready for that, apparently, or the quote-unquote gatekeepers, right?
Right.
Because you can't have good-natured fun, kind of like the NBA discourse gets nasty, period, right? Also, we see it, right?
Right.
But that's a part of the game. That's a part of, you know, the fans and the conversations. But the WNBA is so off-putting, because it's like, y'all just getting here. Y'all just started watching. Like, so what if I did just start watching? Is this not what you want? Well, okay, fine. I'll turn off the TV. I'll watch something else. You're going to shut off a major part of the growth potential of your league. That's another thing that I've seen a lot of, these gatekeepers around the W criticizing people who are just new to the game. You haven't watched the game. You're just now watching. Okay. What point is that? That's how we grow it, to bring a new demographic, to bring more eyes into it. You want the male viewership, right? Caitlin Clark plays the game in a way that will attract males. I'm just going to be honest with you. Juju Watkins at USC, she's next. She plays the game that will attract the male viewer. Can we be real here? Can we be real? Luka, Kyrie, Steph. Like, these are the players that we enjoy watching in the NBA, and we gravitate toward. The W isn't a above the rim game. So if they can't give me that, give me Caitlin style, Juju style, Giselle Banks in the high school ranks, Aaliyah Chavez. Like, these girls are on the come up and on the rise. If you really cared about the growth of the game, you would start paying and showing love and attention and moving people's eyes to the Juju Watkins of the world, to the Giselle Banks of the world, to Aaliyah Chavez, really fostering coverage of the high school women's game and the college women's game, because that's how it transfers over into the next level as well. But instead, we're in this Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese conversation battle when it shouldn't be a conversation or a battle. We got former legends crashing out, looking crazy out here, because this white girl from Iowa is cooking the league.
I saw LeBron, you know, he was giving Caitlin props on his Twitter, and I seen people were coming at him. They're like, he's never supporting black women or something. What are you talking about? He's a black wife. Black
that's kid. What I'm saying. That's what I'm. That's what I'm.
The greatest basketball players ever, giving props to a great basketball player. It has nothing to do with race. What are we talking about? I don't know.
And that's what I mean. You have the biggest name in the NBA praising a WNBA rookie.
And you want to tell me he's not supporting black women? No, he's supporting black players.
You have a problem with that? Like, but if me said, watching. It's insane to me. It's really insane to me. But this was predictable, right? It was starting to get planted over her last couple years at Iowa. You saw the conversation. It was getting nasty. It was getting disgusting. And now the new fans who actually want to watch and enjoy the game, they're being turned off and turned away via the conversation on the so-called WNBA experts and day one people. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so it's wild to me. It's definitely crazy to me. And I wish somebody would say I can't speak on it. Number one, I'm a sports fan. I'm going to speak on whatever I choose to speak on, whether I'm a new fan or not. Number two, I probably know more about the women's game on all levels than the average person. So don't even try me. Like, don't even try me. Right? Like, I covered WNBA games in college. Like, don't try me. Like, do not. Been watching the league from day one. I remember the We Got Next promos.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, let's stop it. Like, Elena Deldon, we watched her at UD. We watched her go off. Like, we know. But Caitlin Clark is different. And it's okay to say she's different because she's proving it. This isn't hype. It's real. And you got to deal with it. And so instead of crying and complaining and hating, because that's what it is, it's bringing attention to the league, but you wanted this attention. It's just not coming in the form that you wanted. So what do you want? Do you want the attention on your league or no? Oh, fans are wearing Caitlin Clark jerseys even on the road or whatever. What do you think the Bulls of the 90s were? What do you think the Warriors are? Or LeBron fans? What are you talking about? This is welcome to pro sports, where one unique elite talent can generate a buzz and attention and money. Are you ready or are you not? Do you want it or do you not want it? So Caitlin Clark is the Rookie of the Year. Unanimously, she should not have to share that award. Angel Reese is having a great year. She is a great, promising young player. But Caitlin Clark is not getting this attention simply because she is a white girl from Iowa. She is getting it because this white girl from Iowa is cooking, and the way that she plays the game is exciting. And most people would rather watch her style of play than other style of players. And what's wrong with that? That's all I got to say about that. I don't know if you had any closing remarks. Because it's pissing me off.
I just want everybody to be real, man.
There are certain things that you can't say, especially, I'm just going to take it there, as a male, as men, there's certain things we really can't. There's other things I want to say, but I'm not going to touch that line. I'm not going to toe that line.
That's women's business. Listen.
There's certain things I want to say about the nature of things and how I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to touch it.
We don't need to. We don't need. Listen, at the end of the day, everybody knows if you watch ball, even the, and this is the thing that cooks me. People that watch the game, they know what's up. You're lying to yourself if you watch it. If you sit there and watch Caitlin Clark and say Angel Reese is better than her, or you know what I mean? Like, you're lying to yourself if you watch the games. But that just shows me you're either not watching the games or you're too biased to admit it. And I'll let you live with your choice. I know the truth about that situation. And that's just what it is.
And the truth be told, a lot of these so-called WNBA experts or gatekeepers are just now paying attention to the league because it's popular now. It's the popular conversation, right? They're paying attention to the league because it pushes their agendas, whatever it may be. But you don't really care about the game or the growth of the game. You're just there because it's in. And you probably couldn't name 10 W players right now. You couldn't name players at the college level. You couldn't name players at the high school level. You're just there because it's the hot conversation right now. And so I'm just here to be genuine and be have an honest conversation, man. Caitlin Clark's cold. And another thing. When Wimby was about to come into the league, when the NBA was streaming his games overseas and everything, right? What was the conversation from the stars of the league
they were saying they can't wait for him to get here. Like, they weren't hating, saying, oh, it's going to be hard for him to do this and that. No, they admitted it. He's a freak of nature. We never seen nothing like that. They knew. They paid homage.
What are we talking about? So, yeah. Bottom line is, you got to be careful what you ask for. You wanted the attention, you got it. Now you can't deal with it, but it's not how you wanted it.
Right.
And these gatekeepers are full of it because you have an agenda. But if being honest with yourself, since you care so much about rebounding, right, over how Caitlin plays, keep that same energy. Keep that same energy. Keep same energy then. So when the next, when Juju Watkins makes it to the league and she's lighting it up offensively versus the rookie who was killing it on the boards, keep the same energy. That's all I'm saying. That is all I'm saying.
That's all we ask.
Any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Nah, just ready for
a cool episode.
Yeah, just ready for, you know, tomorrow, start of the NFL season. Friday, the Bears play. Packers, make sure you tune in. And Sunday is going to be a big one, too. Monday night, we got the Niners and Jets. So good games all across the board. I'm excited, man. We'll catch y'all next week.
Yeah, man. Y'all enjoy Caitlin Clark, man. Enjoy watching, you know, just good hoops, man. Don't let anybody turn you away from enjoying yourself. Like what you want to like who you want to like. It's sport at the end of the day. It's not that deep. It's not that serious. If you want to watch Caitlin Clark ball, go right ahead. Enjoy it. If you want to watch Angel Reese, go right ahead. Enjoy it. But I'm also tell you to watch Juju Watkins. She's up next. She's the truth. I'm excited to see her. But whoever you like watching, just watch them. Don't let anybody dictate who you should watch and who you shouldn't watch. Like, these gatekeepers have no other thing. Like, they just got too much time on their hands. A lot of hate in their hearts. They got to deal with that. Guy got to deal with that inside of them. But it's basketball at the end of the day. Caitlin Clark, salute to you for guiding the Fever to the playoffs. It's been a while. It's going to be a real problem if they make the championship. Ooh-wee. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but just imagine what the conversation is going to be then. That might be their worst nightmare if Caitlin Clark. Ooh. I kind of want to see it now.
Listen, they made it all the way to the playoffs.
To see what they're going to say. What you going to say?
Yeah, they'll say it's rigged or something. You know, they'll make up whatever.
It is what it is. We out.
Man, we had a, that was a.